Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richie, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton.
Nine holes in the books this morning, Steve. Nine holes.
Nine holes. How'd you shoot? Come on.
I'm thinking maybe...
For real.
51.
51.
51.
But it's a par three course?
Nice one, Steve. Didn't make any pars. Didn't make any pars.
All right. Well, look, Lee DeCamper's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. This is our rollicking podcast. Just a few things to talk about today, Ira. How about that? Todd Bowles getting a contract
extension.
Thank
you, Glazers. Thank you, Glazers.
Jason Light getting a new deal. Those guys are high-fiving their way all the way to Bill Curry Ford, where every fan can high-five this weekend. Factory pricing runs through the end of the month. And
well, wait a minute. That's only a few days away, Steve.
I know that. A summer vacation event is going on. No payments till the fall. On top of that, they're giving you $1,000 more for your trade. JoeBucksFan.com and Ira Kaufman discount is in effect through Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. Just ask him for that. You can shop now at BillCurryFord.com. The inventory is tremendous right now at the dealership, which is, we always forget to mention lately, the Giant. This is the biggest, most beautiful, most extensive dealership in the Tampa Bay area.
You can't miss it.
Largest service department in Florida. 100 loaner vehicles, mobile service. They've got a restaurant that I know you seem to know the menu.
Open on Sunday.
Memorized about that. Open on Sunday. What don't they do at Bill Curry Ford? I don't know what
they
do.
And they'll come out to your house.
And you love that, the mobile service. I've used the body shop in the past, so they do that too. Did a great job. And
they didn't do a good job on your body, Steve. I can say
that's
that right
my
now.
Vehicle. My vehicle.
Oh, your vehicle. All right.
So, you know, and that's a hell of a story, actually, how I got to the body shop and had a little accident and convinced the guy to not go through insurance. And he showed up there and Sean introduced him to Justin Watson, who happened to be there. And this guy was a Bucs fan. And it all sort of took me off the hook for this accident.
That's outstanding.
It was fascinating.
Whose fault was it, Steve? Whose fault?
I don't really know. It all happened very quickly. It might have been my fault.
In other words, it was your fault.
No, I really don't know. But it might have been my fault.
I thought Ira had some kind of weird Justin Tucker
reference. So it was never reported to your insurance company. That's what you're telling me.
No. I talked to the young man who had the accident with.
Nicely done, Steve. My wife had a fender bender 2.5 years ago. It shot up my freaking insurance rates.
Yeah.
Nobody was hurt.
Yeah, I know.
It was a parked car. Nobody was hurt. Unbelievable.
BillCurryFord.com, family owned since 1960. Get there today, BillCurryFord.com. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration are ready for you 24/7. You call them right now, whenever you're listening. They're going to pick up the phone. They'll come out to your damaged property, water damage, flood, fire, mold, storm damage, and they will give you a free evaluation with top technology and expert technicians. What more could you ask for? And they'll do full restoration and repair if that's what you need. But more important, you can trust them. 5-star Google reviews. Put them in your disaster plan. Ira knows them. We all know them. Sean Sullivan's used them. Rock Riley. Other friends we have. I've used them. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. Owner Josh Martin, his team covers the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond across the state. And you mentioned Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. If you eventually need them, you'll get $500 back just for doing that.
And make them your first call ahead of your insurance.
And call them first. You know, if you have water flying through your roof or you found damage, you can call your insurance company and make a recorded statement and say the wrong thing. And they're going to get their adjuster out there and then tell you to use their restoration people, and it's all fixed, meaning rigged in a sense. Or you can get Florida's Elite Restoration out there before you call, and they'll give you an honest evaluation of what's really going on, tell you if you need to call your insurance company, because the minute you call, that's a claim. Doesn't matter if they do a thing, that's a claim. The minute you call and say there's a problem and they look at it and they record it, it's a claim.
And next year, you get the big jump.
Then you get your bill jacked up. It's crazy system. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, where were you? I'll ask Lee, too. Where were you when you got the news that Todd Bowles got a new contract, and what did you do? Did you put down your egg sandwich? What did you do?
We were going to a Mexican restaurant with another couple, and I heard it on NFL radio, and I almost ran into a big light pole. Jason Light and Todd Bowles have been given contract extensions by the Glazers. I said to my wife, did they have to do this right now? What's the impetus for this? And that's why we talked it out, covered all the angles, right, Lee?
Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing here. diving into everything. Lee, where were you when you got the news?
Well, I
got
to ask Ira, were you going to dinner or lunch or breakfast?
I believe I was going to dinner. Well, I didn't look at my phone. I'm on a golf course. There's no phones allowed on a golf course.
Yeah, first thing I wake up and I see it on Twitter, and I immediately went to the website, and Steve was already all over it. So,
first thought, Lee, your first thought?
Not shocked. I know this is going to aggravate some people. I'm not trying to aggravate people. I hope that people come to Joe Buck's family, honest analysis, and that's what I'm providing. Everything we have heard on and off the record about the Glazer family, they really like Todd Bowles.
And they love light. And they love light.
Yeah, because he wins, too. And so when I heard that Bowles is getting a contract extension, well, the very first thing I thought about, well, no surprise. Second thing I thought about, well, there goes one of Steve's talking points.
Oh, no, I haven't jumped off that. I don't think it affects anything.
No job security issue at all?
I don't think it changes his job security. I really don't.
And you don't think he's secure?
If he pisses the bed, he's in trouble.
I think he's 100% secure, assuming that he performs.
Okay.
You guys think he's secure even if he doesn't perform.
That's for one year.
That's the only difference, yeah, for 1 year.
Do you agree with me that this is a very talented roster?
I think it's a loaded roster. Now, I don't want to go crazy. I'm not sitting here saying. I think some fans go a little crazy in general. One guy I think that fans overrate a little bit is Zion McCollum. And I think there's probably some. Who do you think's overrated on the roster among Bucks fans? Got to give me a name. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. Just that he's a little overrated in the grand scheme of.
Well, it's got to be a player of some stature. It's not going to be a scrub. I'll say Vita Vea. Maybe a little bit
with
overrated.
Fans?
Maybe a little bit overrated.
That's a very, very good. I'm not saying he's bad.
He ain't Aaron Donald.
No, he's not a Hall of Famer.
And he doesn't play as much as he should.
I'm not troubled by this, but I'm puzzled by this. The people who were allegedly overrating Zion McCollum, what are they rating him as?
They're rating him as he's the best corner they got.
I think when fans think, hey, our roster's top five, and compared to other rosters, I think McCollum is viewed as a better player than he really is. That's all.
So it's not a no-brainer that he gets a contract extension at the end of the season?
No. I'm not saying he's bad. He's a good player. I'm saying I think, in general, he's a tick overrated among the...
It's debatable who's better, him or Dean. If someone argued with me, McCollum's better. Now, you guys know I don't think Dean's trash. If someone would argue with me, McCollum's better than Dean, I'm open-minded to that. You know, McCollum had a boatload of pass breakups.
Sure.
To me, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not saying he...
But he's not a Pro Bowler, no. I think Ira's on to something. I would have to say Vea. I mean, I could say Graham Barton, but he's just a rookie, so I'm not going to kill the guy. I would say Vita Vea. Now, if I had to pick someone that's underrated, that fans, for whatever the hell reason, want to unload him, and I think I know why they do, they read the wrong people. There's so many Ben Bredesen haters out there. I don't get that.
What's the hate?
I know. I don't get it. He was a key cog on one of the best offensive lines in the league. What's the problem? But there's a certain website out there where they consider themselves, you know, the Walter Camp of the 21st century, like they invented the game. I'm thinking they don't like him. So.
The Bucks broke down Bredesen's film 6 Ways to Sunday, and they decided to keep him.
Ira, I don't care what team it is. You take your worst offensive lineman, who's the starter, and some fans aren't going to like the guy. And the Bucks have a great offensive line. He's the worst link.
Quote,
it's not his fault. It doesn't mean he's a bad player, but
by the way, Lee, speaking of Barton, I'm sure you didn't mean to think to say that Barton had a disappointing rookie season.
No, everybody's acting like the guy's Larry Little all of a sudden. And I'm not there yet. He's already a good player, but some people were acting like this guy was DeMonte Dawson.
Let's stop talking overrated. Let's get to Todd Bowles.
Who says nothing ever happens a month before training camp?
Ira, I'm just going to clear the floor because you're the sage of Tampa Bay sports, and we're going to have some different opinions here on this Todd Bowles re-signing. But for those unaware who just waking up, Todd Bowles got a multi-year contract extension. ESPN reported that he is signed through 2028. What do you think of this?
Well, 32,000 Buck fans just dropped their lemonade, but it's true. And I'm going to go right to the heart of it, Lee. I'm going to go right to the heart of this. We've talked in the last few podcasts. We've thrown it out there. What if the Bucks go 6-11 and Mayfield doesn't get hurt? But they go 6-11, and it's not a total rash of injuries where 9 guys are laid out for 7 weeks at a clip. What happens to Bowles? Now, Lee, I don't want to speak for you, but you've kind of adapted my attitude where he's going to get another chance, and he's going to be on a very hot seat going into 2026. Now, we don't anticipate going to 6-11, so here's what I'm saying right now. I think this makes it much more unlikely if the worst happens and they have a very bad year that Bowles gets the boot. Now, that doesn't mean the Glazers won't fire a coach that has time remaining on his contract. They do it. They've done it all the time. Mm-hmm. They did it to Gruden, mm-hmm. and they gave him plenty of contract extensions. But Lee, I don't think it's a stretch to suggest, should the Bucks have a bad season, this makes it more unlikely that Bowles is gone. And it shows the confidence ownership has in the current head coach.
If we're talking 6-11, is that the DMZ?
No, I asked you, Ira, why did they do this? Why? I don't want to hear about 6-11 and five if he gets...
They did it because they firmly believe that he's doing a good job. And they want him to be the coach for a long time here. And they appreciate the culture that he's helped create. They don't do it if they're waffling on the guy. They don't do this.
The things that I've heard, i.e. the Glazers and Bowles, they really like the culture that's been built.
What's not to like?
Well, people right away say better playoff record, which there you go. But they like, from what I understand, they really like the culture. Bowles is part of that. I don't think they're eager to blow that up. Again, I don't know what your line of demarcation is. 4 wins, 5 wins, 6 wins. I said this before, I'll say it again. 6 wins, he's back. He's built up street cred. I like you said, Ira, they bounced Chucky after they gave him a contract extension. That doesn't bother them. But I really believe, you know, he is winning divisions. That's a hell of a lot better than what 5 of the last 6 coaches have done before Bowles. So,
they didn't have to do this, Isbitz. They didn't have to do it. They did it.
To my conclusion, I do think he's back next year, barring a disaster.
Well, you hit it on the head there, Ira. That's why I asked you why. Because Todd Bowles is under contract for 2025. It was my understanding that he signed a 4-year deal with a 5th-year option. So that means the Glazers had an option for 2026. So they must have had a business reason for this. I don't know what that is, Ira. Maybe they thought, well, you know what? We kind of got Bowles over the barrel here because where else would he coach in 27, 28? So maybe we can lock him up now on the cheap. And we do like the culture. We like all this stuff, but if we don't lock him down, then things can get weird. If we have a great year, which we're hoping for, then you got him in a lame duck, and maybe he becomes looking for a final giant payday. Maybe we can lock him up early. I'm just trying to understand
the direction
why.
This team's going. Like, mm-hmm. What's not to like? Isn't this the only NFC team with 5 straight playoff appearances?
Of course, yeah.
Now, he didn't do 5.
No, he did 3.
And they've won a game more each of the last 2 seasons.
Exactly. That's my biggest point.
They've gotten better. Ascending team says light. And the Glazers like the combination of light and Bowles. They like it.
I can only go by history. And even that is not an accurate barometer of what the Glazers do. But if you go by history, the Glazer family did not get rid of Tony Dungy because of his record. They got rid of him because he was clueless about offense and refused to budge. Bowles, on the other hand, probably has the same kind of record as far as winning the division and getting bounced, but he seems very open-minded about offense. Dungy was not. There's a big difference there.
Steve, do you think the Glazers ran this past light about Bowles' extension? And should they have?
Well, I don't know what you mean by ran it past. Look, the history of the Glazers is they control the head coaching decision. So
that's where they step forward.
So I would assume that they control the head coach contract renewal. Like I said, Todd Bowles is under contract for this year. Everybody's happy. So an extension, sure, they would probably talk to Jason about an extension for Bowles, but I think they're 100% making this decision. And just the fact that they even put their name on the press release, which they don't always do.
That's right.
For the Buccaneers, they spoke out about Bowles, and they like what's going on, and they should. He's developing young players and all that. I'm just trying to figure out why did they do it when they didn't have to. They could have done it after this year. Played a little wait and see. I don't know. I think there's a money
maybe
involvement
they wanted
here.
To quell,
I don't know.
Any speculation in their mind? Maybe this pisses on the Bowles skeptics a little bit.
I don't think that they did it for that reason, because that just fueled speculation. Oh, they got a vote of confidence. Oh, that means he's going to get bounced. I just think it was a throw a bone to Bowles. Hey, we like what you're doing.
Yeah.
What a renaissance for Jason Light. What a renaissance. After the 2019 season, he's hanging by a thread, Lee.
2018.
He's hanging by a thread. The team has a terrible record under his tenure as GM. The roster is has some good players, enough to attract the Tom Brady.
Bingo. Bingo.
But his draft picks were so-so overall, and now they're not. Now they're great. Hats off to Light. He's done a Houdini since 2019.
Light, to his credit, He did a podcast with Field Yates. I'm not saying to his credit he did a podcast with Field Yates.
Another Light podcast?
Oh, yeah. It was a terribly boring interview. I only got through half of it. You saw
Wait
it,
a minute. Steve, Light's not boring. Light's the life of the party.
Light's the life of the party away from a microphone. In front of a microphone or with a microphone is just the opposite. But when Yates was asking him about, hey, you know, you started off slow, and a lot of people thought you might have been bounced. And he's like, I have to thank the Glazer family for showing patience in me. So to his credit, he says it right away.
I think he knows how close he was to being bounced.
He said it before. He said it many times.
Yeah, he said it before.
You know, Cutter went out the door, and he stayed.
You know, I'm talking about the lost decade and how coaching matters. I went through every coach during the lost decade and why they didn't last, why they didn't get a contract extension when Bowles got one and Chucky got one, but everybody in between did not get one. The reason why Cutter got bounced? He was too loyal. He should have got rid of Mike Smith after 2017.
He might have saved himself, Lee.
Exactly. He did not. And oh, by the way, what did Bowles do? He bounced a worthless offensive coordinator after the first year.
I didn't think twice about it.
No, and you know, talk about loyalty. Bowles probably caught hell about that from you-know-who,
yes.
Who's big on loyalty.
Yes.
So sticking with Bowles and him getting extended, do you think this is a referendum on Josh Grizzard where they look at him and say, you know what, we've talked to Grizzard, we see how he operates, we feel that he's 2-3 years away no matter what happens, and it makes us more comfortable to extend Bowles because Grizzard's not going to be ready for a year or two if it came to that, in our opinion.
Nobody looks for different angles like you, Steve. No, nobody. Somehow you got Josh Grizzard into Bowles' contract extension. You're marvelous at that.
I'm asking why they did it. That could be a factor. I'm not saying Grizzard won't get a job somewhere else next year if the Bucs had the best offense in the league or close to it. But maybe the Bucs think he's 2-3 years away, so let's just extend Bowles and hope for the best.
You're overthinking this, Stevie.
Okay.
Lee, Bowles has won them over. Bowles has won the Glazers over. You don't make a move like this if you're not thinking that Todd Bowles is going to get you to a Super Bowl. Now, if he falls on his ass next year, he's going to be in a lot of trouble going into 2026, mm-hmm. as he should be. And he's not naive. He'll probably think, okay, I'm all right with that. I'm on the spot now.
Here's the only way I can see him getting fired, unless it's a complete disaster, Steve. Like two
wins. You mean like a Raheem?
Like a Raheem Morris, which, let's be honest, Raheem, part of the reason he got fired, that was, you're going to like this, Ira, that was a locker room full of incorrigibles.
And now it's the opposite.
Yeah, so.
You got a bunch of Aqib Talibs out there.
Well, yeah. Well, not just him. And I'll never forget the story Steve said. I won't mention the player's name, but he saw this dude at his locker room with a briefcase full of pills.
And Freeman was a basket case. You know,
yeah,
you can start
he was.
Right there.
He was. The only way I see Bowles getting canned is if the defense is horrible.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
That's the only way.
Are you downplaying the culture angle here, Steve?
No, I'm not downplaying the culture. They love the culture.
There's no distractions.
They've said it 100 times, but I go back to things we've talked about, Ira, and argued about. You're saying they're all in on Bowles. They love what he's done. I'm overthinking it, okay? And I may just be. You may be 100% right. However, doesn't that magnify that if they did have a subpar season, that they may sit back and say, oh, crap, we were really wrong. We're getting out of this thing because we misjudged it by a mile. Didn't they just put, in some ways, more pressure on Bowles because they said, we think you can get us to the Super Bowl, and if he takes a big step back, they may take a step back and be like, we were wrong.
No, I think this is going to be a little bit liberating for Bowles. I don't think it's going to go to I don't think it's going to go to his head where he's not going to put the time in. Well, put the work
no,
in.
No,
he's not
no,
built
no,
like
no.
that.
No,
he's
not
built
at
like
all.
That.
Workaholic.
I don't see them having a bad year. Maybe they don't win the division because Atlanta has stepped up to 10 or 11 wins and the Bucks get edged out. Barring that injury to mm-hmm. Mayfield, which you got to throw it in there, Steve, because then you got Trask. And I'm not going to start on that again. But barring that, Lee, can this team really be 5-12? This team?
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we got to remember, Grizzard, he's never called plays before. And the Bucks got lucky twice in a row.
I like
get lucky?
The fact that you point to Grizzard as an X factor. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, do we really expect they're going to hit? They're going to go 3-for-3 in 3 straight years?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe we're downplaying.
Why not, you know?
Maybe we're downplaying Cone's running schemes being so much better than Canales and Leftwich.
What I do know
maybe
is
we're
Ira,
downplaying that.
Ira, we've been talking about Bowles, and does he deserve the contract extension? That's a yes or no question, Ira. Does he deserve it? Has he earned it?
I might have held off till after this season. I might have. You know, getting bounced in the playoffs, Lee. Fans don't like it.
Nor should they.
Now, Washington turned out to be a pretty darn good team. They kicked Detroit's ass the following week.
They were beatable.
They were beatable, and I wouldn't say they had a better roster than the Bucks last year, and the Bucks were playing at home, and they lost. I think I probably would have waited till the end of the season and see if he can match the 10 wins, maybe bump it up to 11, which is a nice number for me. Lee, before I turn it over to you, I got a quick contract extension story for you, Lee. Me and my former partner at my beloved Tampa Tribune, Roy Cummings.
He got a contract extension?
This is when the Trib had money, Lee. The year after the Bucks win the championship, 2003 season, Bucks have a bad year, go 7-9. The whole Keyshawn Johnson, stay away from the team thing. And the Super Bowl is in Houston, and I believe it's the Patriots and the Panthers with Jake Delhomme, mm-hmm. who played a hell of a Super Bowl game mm-hmm. and almost won the game mm-hmm. against Brady. Threw like an 80-yard touchdown to Muhammad or something. And so, Lee, during the game, Roy and I get tipped off. Now, Gruden's only coached 2 years at that point. And the second year was lousy, 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
And things kind of fell apart after that loss to Indianapolis. And you'll never forget that game,
no,
Lee.
No,
we get wind that the Glazers are giving Gruden a contract extension. It's not public. It's not out on Buccaneers.com. Nothing like that. I had to get it confirmed. I think I went right to the right sources that you need to get it confirmed. And it was confirmed. And so Gruden, after year two, wins the Super Bowl, then goes 7-9, and then gets like a 3 or 4 year contract extension. Mm. And has another bad year in 2004 before bouncing back in 2005 with Cadillac Williams. But we have been through this contract extension stuff before. And I think he got another one, Lee, before he got fired, right? Yeah, that one didn't take him.
Yeah.
That one didn't take him through after 2008. So he got another contract mm-hmm. extension, and then the Glazers canned him. So Steve's question to you is simple: was it the right move with
yes.
Bowles today?
Yes.
Why couldn't you wait till another year went by?
Why not? But I got to compliment Steve. He started this segment by introducing Ira as a very Van Halen-esque reference. Mighty Sage. I'm going to start doing it. The Mighty Sage. Mighty. I like that.
So, Jason Light, Ira, we don't know. There was no report on how long his contract extension is.
And we don't know when his contract would have been up.
No, we don't know anything. You know, the Glazers are very secretive about this stuff. They didn't put it out to fans through the team that Bowles is signed through this amount of time. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported that it was through 2028 for Bowles. No word on Light.
It is on Buccaneers.com, though, right?
Yes, but not the date. It doesn't say how.
Okay.
It just says multi-year extension. And look, when he was hired, it didn't say how many years to begin with. So why are they secretive with that stuff? Obviously, I don't expect them to put Todd Bowles' salary out there in Lights or Jason Light. And we know through our sources that high-level GMs can make up to $5 million a year, maybe even more now, because that information was a couple years old. But why do they not put that out there?
I think that's their nature, Lee. I don't think there's anything more
Correct.
To it than that. That is their nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather have that than the Jerry Joneses of the world any day.
Oh, no, I think Jerry Jones.
Well, mm-hmm. it hasn't been successful on the field since he kicked
since he kicked
Jimmy Johnson to the curb.
Yeah, it's true.
Very successful.
He is a good drafter. Ira, I got a better question. Why don't the Glazers throw you a bone? Let you break it. You're the Mighty Sage.
I think you should put it out on Twitter, All Points Bulletin, to any Glazer that's listening. Next time you got some news, give it to the Mighty Sage. I get my share, Lee.
We could take a couple of minutes and talk about the team caters, as many NFL teams do. They cater to the national media. They make decisions in advance.
Almost every team does.
Who's going to get the story? And most teams do, because the NFL has these paid relationships with
partners. They call them, right?
Yeah, partners. You know,
are we a partner? We're
NFL
not a partner.
Network. They're a partner, obviously.
Yeah.
ESPN. You know, $1 billion contracts. You know, years ago, you mentioned the Tampa Tribune, the old newspaper. It's been gone, 10 years now, almost? 9 years.
Yeah.
You know, they were a pewter partner of the Bucks. So I don't know if you are going to like this, but you guys may have gotten a couple things because the Tribune was paying $1 million a year to have their name in the stadium. A
couple of years. I'm not even sure we paid them. I think we defaulted. Oh, yeah, the final few years. Things got a little antsy between the Tribune and ownership a little bit. And I don't blame ownership. You're a pewter partner. You got to pay up. Pay up, baby.
You made an agreement. You signed a contract, right?
There you go.
So, look, Light could be here for quite a long time. I don't think he's attached to Bowles. If something happened with Bowles, whatever that might be, I'm not talking about some sort of personal disaster, but if the team decided to move on, I don't think he and Light are an attached pair. I think they would trust Light to take the team into the next era, whatever
I
that
agree
is.
With that. You mean I agree with that. And Light would have the power to select the next coach, or that's something that the Glazers always have a hand in.
Well, look, hey, we just signed it. I'm just saying, I don't think they're married. Married at the hip. Does this make Todd Bowles, Ira, more powerful when it comes to the draft, when it comes to everything with the Bucks, this contract extension?
I think it sends a powerful message to the locker room. And the players already have a lot of respect for Todd Bowles. Mm-hmm. A ton of respect mm-hmm. for Bowles. And you can see it in the way they talk, even in privately. Yeah. You talk to the guys in private when the cameras aren't there. And to a man, even guys that aren't playing more than, 30% of the snaps, they don't take any pot shots at this coach because they think he's fair and he's open. So, yeah, I think the word filters down quickly in the locker room when they report to camp that, hey, this guy's going to be here for quite a while. And I think it solidifies Bowles' stature with the players, and I don't think it needs a lot of emboldening.
It's not uncommon. What I mean by that is, yeah, the Bucks players, a lot of them, they really like Bowles. But I was watching what's slowly turning into a trash show, Good Morning Football. Please come back, Kyle Brandt.
Oh, boy.
Please come back, because without you, that show's...
Well, who do they got out there, Lee?
I don't even know. They were talking about Bowles getting his contract extension, and these three players were talking, and two of them actually had professionally crossed paths with Bowles. One guy was with the Arizona Cardinals, and Bowles was there when his rookie year, and another guy was playing for the Cowboys when Bowles was secondaries coach for Bill Parcells. And both of them just raved about what a good man he is and a class act, and they really respected him. So that goes back years and years that, wherever Bowles goes, the players, they do have a lot of respect for him.
Ira, what do you make of this? And I heard this in a few different spots. Todd Haley coached with Bowles with the Jets under Parcells, coached with Bowles with the Cowboys.
Isn't he on Sirius Radio, NFL?
Yeah, he's on sometimes on Sirius, and he coached with Bowles with the Cowboys as well. So, obviously knows him very well. He was coaching high school in the Bay Area 4 or 5 years ago, and he also was Baker Mayfield's first offensive coordinator in Cleveland. So, you could say he understands the Bucks pretty well. And he went out of his way to say that the Bucks have tread water with Todd Bowles. That's the phrase he used, tread water. He doesn't think they're a true contender. He's impressed with what Bowles has done in the post-Tom Brady era, and he likes that the team respects that and respects that that Bowles and Light have a close, good working relationship.
Does he suggest that they've underachieved?
No, I'm just telling you what he said, and bottom line is he said they're staying competitive, but he doesn't think they're that good. And I heard a lot of national analysis with similar type stuff. Like, Mayfield's good, but he's not elite. And Bowles is good, but the Bucks aren't that good. And they're doing some nice things, but they're not so great. You don't think the Bucks think that way, though?
I don't think that way. I think this is a hell of a roster with some question marks. No question.
None
starting with your man, Servassier Dennis. I'll start there. Questions in the secondary, which was ravaged last year.
You have more
not
than I do,
not only by injuries. They didn't play well. They didn't play well when they were in there.
No.
Winfield didn't when he was in there. Now, somebody might say, I don't think Winfield was ever healthy last year. Maybe. We'll see.
What are you suggesting, Ira?
That he played hurt maybe sometimes when he shouldn't have been out there?
Ira, are you suggesting something more devilish?
Nothing sinisterly.
Okay.
My point being that some people think that Winfield never got over his injuries. He never fully got over it, and it hampered him the games that he even played in.
Bowles is one of those gentlemen.
And he wasn't himself.
Yeah, Bowles even said that, yeah.
Well, one guy who thinks that Winfield was healthy for chunks of last year and underperformed is Rondé Barber, who just very clearly said that on his WFLA show. But Barber, really was pounding his chest on this WFLA streaming show that he has, which is paid for by the Bucks. He's pounding his chest saying, I'm a Buccaneers insider. I'm going to tell you what I heard inside One Buck. I'm going to tell you what I see watching the practice film that nobody else gets to watch because I watch every minute of it. He's out there hammering his access, Ira. And, before we really get into it, do you think the Bucks like this? I understand the Bucks are paying for this Rondé Barber show, but it seems like it's going to his head.
There's going to be a coming to Jesus moment, Lee, about this. Lee, from our perspective, guys that cover the team on a regular basis, we love Rondé's honesty. We eat it up. Yeah. But from a franchise perspective, They like to keep things close to the vest over at One Buck. And Rondé's, he's prying open a few doors that usually are sealed. I don't know how that's going over with the people that count.
Are you suggesting they might slam a door in his face?
No, but they're going to have a little chat, a little suggestion. Be a little more circumspect. But, you know, Rondé is Rondé. And I'm not sure he's going to change.
Well, WFLA doesn't want to hear this.
When's Rondé getting a contract extension? Is that next?
Maybe he got one already. I don't know. When are you getting a contract extension? What's going on?
You would know better than anybody.
The one thing none of us would argue about, Steve, is that Rondé is an insider. He is an insider. He's not talking out his ass.
No.
So,
well,
we got to give him that. Well, to a,
he's an insider.
Yeah, he's an insider.
So he goes on this show on Monday, and it airs every other Monday or whenever they feel like putting it on.
Well, wait a minute. Remember, he caused a little ripple a couple of months ago, Steve. This is not the first time.
He caused a ripple by saying that there's something going on
with Chris Godwin.
He said with one of the receivers, Evans, McMillan, or Godwin, that prompted the Emeka Egbuka draft. So that was a big eye-opener.
And the first thing you're going to think of is it's Godwin-related. You know, what's the problem with Mike Evans? There's no problem. And he never explained it, rightly? He never explained it.
No.
So he just kind of threw it out there. And I don't think that goes over very well, back on the home front.
Did that ruffle feathers inside?
I think it did. So what's the latest, Steve?
So the thing is, the interesting thing about Barber is that he loves to talk about what an insider he is. And not every insider does that.
But no.
He goes on his show and he talks about how I watch the practice film and here's what I'm hearing behind the scenes. Like
other guys are more circumspectly because they want to stay. They want to remain an insider.
Big words.
That's the key.
Big words, Ira. You got a good vocabulary.
Circumspect, baby.
So Barber comes out and he says the biggest intel, that's his quote, biggest intel that he's got from One Buck is how incredible Reddick was during minicamp and how quick he is and decisive. And he actually thought he was breaking news, but it was the same news Lee broke on JoeBucksFan.com a couple of weeks ago that Reddick came to camp with video of different pass rush moves and has been teaching players. And Anthony Nelson talked to Lee about that.
Are you suggesting DeKemper's more of an insider than Rondé Barber?
Of course I am. So
I appreciate the support, but I wouldn't go there. I just had the first chance.
So he talked up Reddick.
He talked up Reddick, but he also said Benjamin Morrison is a number three corner. And, you know, we'll see how long Jamel Dean can hold him off. So that was interesting. He seemed most high on Jacob Parrish, the third round pick, the cornerback.
Did he associate him with the nickel job?
And he also said that Tyke Smith is also still working a little bit at nickel, but he's the safety alongside Winfield, which we knew. Except Barber said he had a rough spring. He's got a big learning curve there, and the Bucks are keeping an eye on that. But Barber's very confident in Tyke Smith, thinks he's a hell of a talent, and had a good season last year in his first year. What do you guys think of that?
I didn't notice that Tyke Smith struggling, Lee. I mean, that's something only an insider could find out. He's got Benjamin Morrison as the number three corner. I'm okay with it, Lee.
Not a
but
shock.
As long as by midseason. Maybe he'd be the number two corner.
I've been a supporter of Jamel Dean. I'm not saying he's...
Yes, you have.
He's Deion Sanders.
You and I have gone after this.
And I've also suggested he's not E.J. Biggers either. Benjamin Morrison, if he's healthy, becomes a starter the game that Jamel Dean goes down. And he will go down. It's just when. We don't know when. He will, though.
Like a Wally Pipp situation?
No, Wally Pipp. I don't think Jamel Dean is is Lou Gehrig. You know?
I'll be the first to say this too, Lee. Let's not read too much into Hassan Reddick at minicamp. Take it easy.
Well, it's refreshing to understand. It's refreshing to learn. Yeah, take it easy.
I mean,
but
I like the
tell
fact that he's motivated, he's this, he's that.
He's trying to help out his teammates, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, but he said he looked outstanding. Stellar.
Well, it's underwear football. I mean,
well,
goodness gracious.
Barber is watching practice, so he is, you know, maybe he even has access to the speed tracking that they have on every guy, you know, with the GPS.
He probably didn't show off all his moves either, right? During a minicamp.
You can't because there's no hitting. So.
Barber went out of his way to say that he saw on film, again, underwear football at minicamp. He saw on film interior linemen using moves he's never seen them use before. And he attributed that, like a Cansey move or a Vea move, Vita Vea, to Reddick teaching and different things that they can do.
Wait a minute. Well, what does that say about the defensive line coach, Lee?
Well, maybe Charlie Strong's involved with this somehow. But I've got two words to say about Barber saying that, these interior linemen are putting on these moves. I've got two words to say about that. Slow down.
Well, it's slightly comical because, yeah, man, Redick accomplished a lot in 2.5 days. You know, he's coaching up the defensive tackles. He's
wait till he gets to training camp. Oh,
yeah, exactly. So, you know, a lot of optimism, more than usual. You know, it always flows this time of year, but it's going a little crazy.
By the way, I saw, and you guys see the list too of, you know, top teams in the NFC. They got the Bucs like sixth. You know, they got Washington ahead of them and Detroit, of course, Philly.
Rams.
Maybe even Green Bay on the Rams, you know.
Well, the one that gets me going is when they have Frisco ranked above the Bucs.
Or Chicago. I've seen Chicago.
Yeah, that's a reach. That's a reach.
Steve, I've seen Chicago listed ahead of the Bucs.
I've seen that, too. That's a reach. I do not understand what people are seeing in San Francisco. I get it. They have a cakewalk of a schedule. Look at their scheduling. But there's a team that was not in the playoffs, and they lost, what, 15 players? Crazy.
Here's an aspect of the Buck roster that I think is very undervalued, underappreciated, and it goes straight to light. It's not Bowles, it's light. It's a young team, Lee.
Yeah.
It's a young team.
Outside of Levante.
Coming off a 10-win season, a young team, and a quarterback in the thick of his prime.
You brought up the other teams in the conference, and of course, you know, fans are always sitting here projecting win totals, and we're not going to get into them, but I want to throw these curveballs at you, Ira. Lee, Arizona, team that is very much overlooked by how they play, energy, good quarterback.
They always look like an 8-9 win team.
Well, Bucks have them on the schedule this year, and there's a lot of optimism there, a lot of reason for optimism, something to think about. They're on the
and
Bucks
Kyle
schedule.
And Kyler Murray might be fully healthy now
he is.
After a big injury.
He is, and he played well late last season. So that's a team that most fans have as a W.
Yeah.
Might want to reconsider, but I'll throw this nugget out to you, Ira. Tua as a starting quarterback.
I don't like that guy.
Okay.
I don't like that guy. I don't know.
Now, the Bucs are heading to Miami this year, and fans look at that and think that that's a win.
I don't like that organization, Lee.
No, nobody does.
They're spinning their wheels.
I can't stand their GM.
Nobody does. However, what if I told you that Tua as a starting quarterback has a winning record in the NFL? Now, sure, he misses 5 games a year or misses more games, whatever. 2 years ago, he teased them by playing all year, but last year he got hurt again. But when he plays, he's got a winning record, and he's even better at home. Does that scare you at all?
I don't think he was very good last year when he played. I didn't think he was very good. Tyreek Hill had a down year, a really down year. And I should know because I picked him third in the freaking fantasy football league.
Go.
I had the third pick, and I took Tyreek Hill. It was a disaster, Lee. It's a disaster. The cheetah cheated me. He cheated me. I don't like that organization. I think the Bucs are a lot better team than the Dolphins.
Dolphins don't scare me, and neither do the Cardinals.
The Miami's softly. They're
soft. You took the words out of my mouth. And maybe, you know, we're too close to see it. But if you look at the big picture overall, the NFL, Bucs are a tough team. They're a tough team.
They run the ball.
They run the ball. They're a tough team. You know, I know a lot of people throw pot shots at this guy. I'm included. But sometimes crazy people do hit the nail on the head. Michael Lombardi said there's a reason why this team comes back on Todd Bowles. Even when they have a slump mid-season, that they come back and they win the division. He goes, tough teams do that. Mentally tough teams do that. Physically tough teams do that.
Pittsburgh's like that, too. A lot of seasons since Roethlisberger's retired, they easily could have gone 5-5 south.
Yeah.
And they don't. No. Now, part of that, you know, the guy's a good coach. I'm not putting Bowles in Tomlin's class yet. I'm not doing that. Tomlin's won a Super Bowl, and I think he's been in another Super Bowl.
I'm going to say, this will get you outraged, I think, Ira, because I know you're close to the guy. Right now, and I'm, you know, I've been critical of Todd Bowles, don't get me wrong. I still want to punch a window. No, I don't want to punch a window. I want to punch a wall over that Kansas City debacle.
You love the way they
played. Except for that, let's go kick the extra point. That drove
me. You don't think that's hindsight, Lee? Did you say it at the time?
Yes, I said it at the time. Go back and listen to the video. I thought maybe I was out of line the way I was questioning Bowles. I thought that was outrageous. Right
so
now,
when the score was tied, you said,
go for it, yeah.
And this is Monday night in Kansas City last year.
Oh, when they were down by one, right?
They're down by one, and you know they could have gone for two, and they may have won the game.
You were at the game?
Yes.
And
yes.
And you said it in the press box?
Yes. I couldn't believe they didn't go for it, but we're getting away from myself. Right now, June 2025. I would pick Bowles over Mike Tomlin. I'm not talking 10 years ago. I'm talking right now. Bowles seems, if he didn't have an appreciation for offense, he does now. He was all over Emeka Abuka. Did he not say at the owners' meetings, you have to score points to win?
Yes, he did.
Tomlin's offenses, since Roethlisberger got old, have been terrible. So right now, if I was going to pick between Tomlin and Bowles, I'd take Bowles.
That's pretty bold, Steve. Tomlin might be going to Canton.
Hey, Lee's on the Glazer train. That's what they're thinking, too. Ira giving Todd Bowles an extension. They like the way he's built the team, developed players. They like the trajectory.
Maybe this game management guy can help Bowles also. Maybe.
Maybe, but we have to remember, and someone who would know, quote-unquote, said this to you, if I remember right, Ira, later in the season. You point-blank asked him, does Jackie Davidson have the final say when to go for
you
it or
love
not?
To get her name into a podcast, Lee.
Well,
love it.
I'm a little irked that they never, you know.
She's number two to Kay Adams and
oh, let's not get carried away.
Let's not get carried away.
Someone with such an important position, and we never, ever got to ask her a question, that bothers me. And that's not her fault.
And now you want to ask the new guy questions.
We should.
It's got to be the head coach with the final
say. But the people who are doing cartwheels over this guy, this nameless, faceless somebody from Jacksonville, it's Bowles. It's not him.
I think part of the problem, Steve, the way I can ascertain it, is Bowles had too many. He had too many voices in his head at the end of the games. We'll see if they change the protocol.
So how the hell did coaches coach years ago when they didn't have that?
Grab, Lee. grab.
So Bowles hired in the offseason a time management guru from Jacksonville, and that's what we've been referencing. Do you think that his hiring of that guy was connected to the contract extension he just got from the Glazers?
No, but I think his hiring might have been suggested by the guys who write the paychecks.
Suggested or ordered? Semantics, right?
That's good, Lee. That's good. I think it came down from the top. I think Bowles realized he needed to change something. Doesn't it seem like the weeks are flying by, Steve? It's been 2 months since the draft. I mean, that's unbelievable. 2 months.
The weeks are flying by. The Bucs have graced us with an exciting offseason, which is really cool. And
contract extensions all around, Steve? How about giving me a contract extension? What do I got?
You're already extended. You're cruising ahead. You're getting ready to get your Hall of Fame bonus at the end of the year.
Am I through 2028, Steve? We'll see.
Let's not get crazy, Ira. Hey, if you want to get crazy, go to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships. They are a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway and family-owned, third-generation family dealership. That means so much. You're going to get great care. You'll get the Joe Bucks fan discount if you ask General Manager Sean Sullivan Ford at Bill Curry Ford, but they've got the summer vacation event. No payments until the fall. That means September, not a fall down next week. No payments till the fall. $1,000 more for your trade. Transparent pricing. Check it out now. This ends at the end of the month. BillCurryFord.com. The family name there. C-U-R-R-I-E. Bill Curry Ford. Ira, we've been talking a lot about Rondé Barber. He's got the Rondé Barber Show on WFLA. He's loving speaking his mind. And we're even going to hit next week on the Joe Bucks Fan Show. Again, at 10 o'clock here on DAE, more from Rondé Barber.
Maybe he's pining for a national radio show or a TV show.
I don't know what he's pining for, but he did say this, Ira. He said
you got more?
He's been watching all the practice film, and he has decided that Emeka Egbuka, the first-round pick of a receiver, quote, he easily could be a number two receiver right now. Dude is a vacuum cleaner. Chris Godwin has great hands. I think Emeka's are better. Like anything in his vicinity is a catch. Ira, I brought up on your podcast, which fans listen to on the iHeartRadio app, Ira Kaufman Podcast, that the Bucs may be in a weird situation if they walk into training camp and it becomes obvious to everybody after a few weeks that Emeka, hey, he may be even better than Mike Evans, or at least much better than Chris Godwin in his current state. What do you make of Rondé Barber's commentary there, Ira? Is Barber losing his mind?
Lee, can you make those kind of judgments when you haven't seen the guy take a hit on an NFL field?
Not honestly. That's kind of dishonest.
I'm a little surprised Rondé's getting carried away with OTAs.
Well, I think Rondé understands, if not embraces, the fact that you have to be out there a little bit to get an audience.
He's savvy.
Egbuka, could I see him right now being a number two receiver in the NFL? Not necessarily the Bucs. In the NFL, sure. But I'm like you, Ira. What you spoke about is the first thing I thought about. The guy hasn't played a snap in the NFL yet. Let's calm down. He hasn't taken a hit. He hasn't had a linebacker breathe on him. I like the guy a lot. You guys know that. I've been bragging about it for months.
Maybe he's watching him catch balls from the ball machine.
I know, exactly.
That's no way to make a value judgment.
Let's be real. He was not even the best receiver at Ohio State. Now, does that say something about Ohio State? Yeah. But And I'm like I said, I'm a big proponent of Igbuka, but let's calm down a little bit before, you know, let's watch him play a couple games. Chris Godwin might be expendable, or, you know, let's ease off, dude.
My initial evaluation, Steve, and it's very early, but I don't think it's crazy. I think he's going to be a really good number two receiver in this league.
Yeah.
I mean, a really good number two receiver. There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree with you, but I'd like to see it as some evidence first, right?
As good as Godwin has been for the Bucs, he's always been the number two. He's never been ahead of Mike
That's
Evans.
That's correct.
Not really.
That's correct.
Evans is the guy that gets doubled, and Godwin's not.
Not all the time.
And not all the time. So I'd say this guy, so far, he's making a great impression.
What I've said, by the way, is not a knock in any way on Godwin, Igbuka, nobody. I hope this guy tears up the league like we've never seen before.
Rondé's giving us great stuff every other week.
Well, you're giving me great stuff. Are you trying to tell the good people of Tampa Bay, driving around from Newport Richey, where you're the king, down to Bradenton and back, that the Bucs invested a number 19 overall pick on a guy you think is going to be a good number two receiver? You can find the number two receiver in the second round, in the third round. You don't draft him in the first round. This guy better be Pro Bowl material.
If he's another Chris Godwin, then that's a hell of a draft pick.
Yeah, I mean,
well, what's wrong with that?
Well, Godwin's not really a number two receiver, Ira.
I think he is.
For this team, he is.
Yeah, for this team.
But he was also a third-round draft pick, and he didn't play his first year
If Evans wasn't around, he'd be number one receiver. Now, you could debate how good he would have been, but let's remember, there's a Hall of Fame wide receiver on the other side of the field in the huddle.
But you do agree with us. Let's not make crazy judgments about a first-round pick based on OTAs.
A vacuum.
It's a lot of fun. I don't know. I think it's fun, Ira. You know, Rondé said he's watching the practice film. Look, they're contested passes, but they're not real football contested
Steve
passes.
I could just hear some Bucks fans, these same Buck fans that are driving around on I-275 heading across the Sunshine Skyway, like, Kenny Bell looked good too in underwear football.
He ain't caught eight balls against Patrick Surtain. Let's take it easy.
I understand.
In the words of Lee, let's take it easy.
Slow down.
I understand. Ira. Hey, the Bucks, they rolled out on YouTube. Josh Grizzard did a little sit down with Casey Phillips for the website there. And, you know, he's a very serious guy. He's laid back, but he's very serious. And maybe he just hasn't opened up with his personality to the media yet. I can't blame him, you know. And we've been around him. He's just, you know, pretty serious. And in his opening news conference, he was even a little nervous, which is fine. Mike Evans has praised him for commanding the room. And
Mayfield's praised him.
Yeah, not even implying that he can't lead people. But he was very relaxed. And during this sit-down, they flashed up some video from minicamp or spring practice, and Grizzard addresses the offense, and then Kate Otten breaks down the huddle, and apparently there is a heavy focus that they want to be the best offense in the league, and that's the expectation. And not every first time, never called plays before guy would come in saying we're going to be the best offense in the league. That's what we're doing here. I don't know if Dave Canales came in like that.
Well, he knows what he's got to work with, Lee. He's a
sure
smart
does.
guy, and he looks around, he sees a quarterback in his prime. He sees a first-round draft pick that's only going to add luster to the receiving core. He sees Bucky Irving, and boy, does he see Bucky Irving, like I do, as the linchpin for the whole freaking thing. And he sees a really good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Cohesive. What's not to like? Don't screw this up, Lee. Don't screw this up.
That's it. I think there's a ton of pressure on the poor guy.
There is a lot of pressure on him.
Because think about it. If the Bucs aren't a top 10 offense, people are going to be screaming at him.
Canales was replacing Byron Leftwich. Where's the pressure? What do you got? You know, and he bumped it up from 18 to 20 points a game. Now this Cone bumped him up to 29.5.
Are you suggesting that Dave Canales would not be a head coach today if not for Byron Leftwich because the bar was so low?
There is pressure on Grizzard, Steve.
He's onto something there.
Steve, there's pressure on this guy.
Yeah, well, Grizzard said, I thought this was interesting, he said he's working with the strength and conditioning staff to make sure the Bucks, very simply, his offense can play longer and harder than the opponent. And that when they scout defenses, at least when he does, he is studying how does this team play, this defense play in the first quarter, how do they play in the third quarter, how do they play in the fourth quarter. He wants his offense to be a machine that, you know, has that sort of
The Bucks scored a lot of points in the fourth quarter last year, Lee. They scored a lot of points. They did.
Steve brought up something I think is very, very interesting. Liam Cohn talked about this last year. You know, Steve mentioned how the training staff was working with Grizzard. The training staff, I remember Liam Cohen talking about this, the training staff went up to Liam Cohen, like, okay, What do you plan to do on offense? And we will build a workout regimen for your wide receivers, for your skill position players, so they'll still have gas in the tank come December, come the fourth quarter. And, you know, are you going to run motion? Cohen said, you're darn right we're going to run motion. We're going to run more motion than you ever dreamed possible. So they actually developed a workout regimen to get these guys in a specific shape so they would be able to run motion every game, every play, December, fourth quarter, overtime, whatever. And it's very interesting Steve brought that up about Grizzard because the Bucks did the same thing with Cohen.
You know, I'm not sure we give the Buck offense their full due from 2024. Put it like this, Steve. The only offense in the league, not the NFC, in the league, to be top five in rushing and passing. And number one on third downs, Lee.
Yep.
Number one on third downs.
Which was Grizzard's specialty.
Godwin missing half the year. Evans missed four games. Steve?
Yes.
Four games. They didn't know what they had with Irving until like midseason. This offense was tremendous. And, you know, it begs the question, if Bowles' defense was middle of the pack last year, could they have reached the NFC title game? Why not?
Yes.
Why not? Give Mayfield more snaps, more possessions with the way that offense was going?
All they needed was 4 points, and they could have made it to the NFC title game. So we know what they've done against Philadelphia. Bowles has their number for whatever reason. Good, bad, or indifferent. He's got their number. Yeah, he lost one game to him. Lost bad.
Philly stacked.
Oh, yeah, they're stacked. They're stacked. They came into Tampa Bay last year and got their clocks clobbered. I know they didn't have wide receivers. They still got their clocks clobbered.
Bowles has the Glazers number, too. They locked him down until 2028, Ira.
There you go, baby. You don't know how you feel about it.
I feel good about it, but I haven't wrapped my head around it. I do feel good about it because I don't think at the end of the day, it really matters.
You think a lot of Buck fans are pissed off?
Well, we did our poll at JoeBucksFan.com.
You've already run a poll on this?
Yeah.
He didn't wait 3 minutes.
You guys are unbelievable.
It was a simple question, you know.
How'd you phrase it?
I'm going to read it to you, Ira. Do you agree with the Bucks' decision to give Todd Bowles a multi-year contract extension? 58% said yes, they agree with it. 28% no, they don't agree. 14% not sure.
Not sure. I don't accept that. You got to be yes or no. Don't give me that.
So just under 6 out of 10 Bucks fans.
The Bulls skeptics are loud, Lee. They're loud.
Sure they are. The vocal minority.
Is this what you thought fans would
no,
say?
No, because, Lee, I think I'm a victim of doing something stupid, which is reading comments on Joe Bucks fan.
That's not stupid.
And anytime Bulls' name comes up, you get a certain percentage of people that disparage him. And, like, he's never going to win these people over. He's never going to win them over.
Short of a Super Bowl,
short of a
right.
Super Bowl. And I think I'm mistaken by saying that I thought that might be the majority of Buck fans. I guess it's not the majority.
Here's your mistake. And I've fallen in the same trap. You're thinking that people who are emotional enough to comment on a story on Joe Buck would use reason.
That's very well said, Lee.
I get lucky once
Steve,
in a while.
You've been in this business a long time and running this website for a long time. You know that a lot of times when you look at the comments, it's going to be negative.
Yeah.
There's just going to be negative because they got to vent. These people have to vent.
It's like that in politics. It's like that anywhere,
yeah.
Right? You go to a school board meeting. You don't have 90 parents there saying, what a great job the school. I love my child's teacher. You
yeah.
don't have that.
Give them more money. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You have some of that, but that's not why people, they want to complain. They speak up. And that's okay.
You ever go to a homeowners association meeting? See,
oh.
Same thing.
When I lived in a homeowners
association. They're alpha blood. They're alpha blood over there.
Yeah, they once they wrote me into security duty on where I used
Jesus.
To live on the homeowners association, which was quite an experience Friday night.
They think people are stealing money. You don't you don't get any money being part of the homeowners association. You're not paid.
Well, is this the chaparral you're referring to?
No, even where I'm living now, there's an
no.
association. You know,
I didn't
there's
know.
There's always
that.
An association.
Yeah, I don't have an association. So, Ira, look, we're winding down here. You have any plans for the weekend? What are you doing with yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to the movies on Sunday, and I'm seeing a teacher that taught me film history in 1974. That's even before I got into this business, Lee. Yes, it is. And I got into a fight with the guy over a movie.
A fight or a quibble?
He said it was a confrontation.
Okay.
And here I was. I was 19 years old, and I'm saying this is a landmark movie, and it's going to change filmmaking forever. And I wrote the paper, and he writes on top of the paper. Well written, but totally disagree. Film's totally overrated. Turned out to be a landmark movie called Mean Streets. Mean Streets.
So
go see it.
So what fans need to know is that you haven't talked to this guy in 50 years. You're going to show up where he's the speaker. And
you know, I got the same voice I had in 74. You don't forget this voice.
You're going to barrel up to this 80-something-year-old guy.
Yeah, he's going to be on a stage.
Hey, it's Ira Kaufman.
Yeah.
Is he allowed to recount his story when he called up? He wasn't then. He recently retired as Yankees play-by-play guy. What's his name?
John Sterling?
Yeah, is he allowed to recount his John Sterling story where he called up John Sterling on the radio in New York and what John Sterling told him?
Well, I called him up on Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve?
Yeah, Christmas Eve. I had nothing to do. I was like, 18 years old. And I called him up.
Merry Christmas.
And he was buddies with a guy named Rod Thorne. He was an NBA executive.
He was hosting the show.
He was hosting the show. And I called up and I got through, the guy that answers the phones. And I go, hey, your buddy Rod Thorne's doing a lousy job. He goes, wait a minute. You're calling me up on Christmas Eve to tell me what a lousy job some guy is doing. You have a terrible voice, sir. You have a shrill voice. I'll never forget that word because you don't hear shrill being thrown around. Steve, do I have a shrill voice? Maybe I do.
Yeah, we'll leave that to the listeners, Ira, and we will see
them all. Distinctive.
You'll talk to them all next week.